We're looking at Romans, the first chapter, and verse number 32. And we're looking at the last part of the last verse of that chapter. It says, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we are talking about enjoying obedience. I'm sorry, enjoying disobedience. Obedience is something we should enjoy, but we're talking about enjoying disobedience. Because there are some things that we can do, and there are some things that we cannot do. There are some things that we like to do, and there are some things that we don't like to do. One is that of enjoying disobedience. We shouldn't like to do it. Disobedience is defined as a failure or refusal to obey rules or someone in authority. A failure or refusal to obey rules or someone in authority. The aim of our sermon is for us to have a spiritual EKG. For us to have a spiritual EKG. I think about disobedience, and it seems to be something that we all enjoy. We think about that diet that you go on, and we know what the doctor said, and he said, don't eat this, don't eat that, and we find ourselves eating it anyway, and we also find ourselves saying, I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. Amen. Well, I think about those who may be degreed. Amen. You got your degree and you can feel like I don't need anybody's prayers anymore. I don't need the word of God anymore. I don't need to go to church anymore. I've got everything I need now that I have my degree. And what you're doing is, to do so would be that you'll be enjoying disobedience. I think about the do-nots in life. Amen. You remember the sign that says, do not touch wet paint. And for some reason, that sign makes us want to touch it anyway. Amen. And it just makes us want to enjoy disobedience. And Paul writes to this church at Rome. He calls himself, he says that I'm a servant in verse 1 of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle by the will of God. And he says that he is excited about these Roman Christians because, according to verse 8, their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Amen. Paul was excited. And he said in verse 9 that I think about you often. I always make mention of you in my prayers. Amen. I always, not sometime, I always have you on my heart and make mention of you in my prayers. What is Paul excited about? Well, he is excited about, he's excited about obedience. obedience. That excited Paul. At verse 5, he says, there's nothing like being obedient to the faith. Obedient to the faith. And that's something we should all enjoy. Amen. Do you enjoy obeying God? What are you enjoying? Amen. Are you enjoying obeying God? Or are you disobeying God? And Paul says, I am excited. He says that, and I'm ready. According to verse 15, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to preach the gospel to those who are at Rome. I am ready. Paul says, I'm enthused. I'm not ashamed in verse 16 of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is in the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed. In verse 17, he says, the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven in the gospel. And so we know that that is what made Paul excited, was doing what God wanted him to do, preaching. And we find him saying that also in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed. It's not just the righteousness of God, but he goes on and talk about the wrath of God is revealed. In verse number 18, he talks about the wrath of God. The wrath of God is revealed. It is revealed against ungodliness, and it is revealed against all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness to those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Paul is saying that God is, the wrath of God comes down against those who are, it's revealed against ungodliness that represents God, and unrighteousness that represents mankind, that represents your relationship with men, and godliness represents your relationship with God. The Bible says that it's believed that the first four commandments were written out of the Ten Commandments about God, man's relationship with God. And then the second set of commandments are written about man's relationship, amen, with man. And that, so the relationship with God is that of, it's against ungodliness, and it's also against unrighteousness. So man's relationship with God and man's relationship with mankind. And so he talks about it, and he lets them know that the wrath of God is revealed. Amen. Not just the righteousness of God in verse 17, but the wrath of God is revealed. And God says that his wrath comes down on all those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Amen. How are you holding the truth? Amen. God says, I'm against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Amen. It means that I'm against those who suppress the truth. I'm against those who push back the truth. I'm against those who refuse to accept the truth. Amen. Amen. Accept the truth. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They don't hold it in righteousness. They don't hold it as being that which is right, but they hold the truth in that which is wrong. And he says, I'm against that. I'm against that. And what is the truth? The truth is that God made the world. Verse 20, we know the Bible says that God made the world. And we know that we know he made the world because the invisible God is reflected in his visible world. And we know that behind the scene, God made it all. And he says that, but there can come an idea that I didn't make it all. Someone else can say that, no, God didn't make it all. And since God didn't make it all, he's really not the creator of the world. And it's really not his world. And he is not the creator. And they can try to give someone else credit for something that God did. And when they start saying that God didn't make the world, they are holding, they're messing up the truth. They are holding the truth in unrighteousness, because the right thing is that God did make the world. And it is clear that God has made the world by the things that are made. And God is saying, I want you to understand that I am against that which is false. I am for that which is true. And you need to know that I am the one who made the world. And what we find is that, but you find that they, although God made the world in verse 20, we find out that they rejected God. They and the Bible does not say who they are, by the way. It says, as you look through this, we don't know if this was talking, who was the writer addressing. Was he addressing the Romans about something that he's about to tell us? Many believe that he is really addressing the fall of man. Some believe that he was addressing the time when Israel had worshiped the golden calf in Exodus 32. I don't know, was it Genesis 3 or Exodus 32, or whether it was Genesis 19, where he dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah, that's making him about to say what he's about to say. Who is the writer talking about? Well, in essence, I would think that we need to understand that the way God addresses this subject, he is talking mainly about idolatry. He's talking about man who has allowed demonically inspired ideas to take root in their being and cause them to worship man instead of God. And they knew not God. In verse 21, it lets us know that they did not want to accept the fact that God had created the world. Because if I accept God as the creator, that means that I've got to obey God. That means that he's boss. That means that he's got all power. And that I am subject to him as his creature. And so if I want to do what I want to, I can't do it because, amen, he is the creator. If I acknowledge him as creator, But what happened is there was man refused to acknowledge God as being the creator in verse 21. Although they knew not God, and the Bible says that they're neither were they thankful to God. They not only wouldn't give him credit for making the world, but in doing so, not giving him credit for making the world, then I don't have to give him credit or thank him for the bananas or for my breakfast or for my pineapple juice or for my strawberries or for my steak. I don't have to give thanks to God. And so therefore, since I have ruled out the Creator, now I, amen, don't have to give him thanks, and I don't have to be under his authority. Amen. And this is what he's concerned about. And the Bible says that a man who refused to really know God, although the things that God had done are clearly seen, it says man's foolish heart was darkened. Amen. Man's heart was darkened. Man's heart was darkened. And when man's heart became dark, then what happened is man began to, in rejecting God, their hearts became dark, and they wouldn't let in the light of God. They wouldn't let in the truth of God, but rather they accepted a false story, a false facts, and their hearts, their foolish hearts, were darkened. Amen. And so now, darkness, man's heart has become dark because he has ruled out, he has rejected the light of God's beautiful creation that unequivocally shows and proves that God did make the world and that God is the creator. But man's heart was darkened, and we find out in verse 22 that man, professing himself to be wise, he became fools. He made a big fool of himself. Man rejected God, and so their foolish hearts were darkened. Their hearts were darkened, and so what they did is they began to do something. They began to worship the Creator, the creature. He began to worship himself. His heart was darkened, and the Bible says in verse 23 that he began to take his dark heart, and he began to make changes. Amen. He began to change things. He began to make changes. He says he changed in verse 23 of Romans 1 the glory of the uncorruptible God into corruptible man. Amen. Amen. I think we need to let that soak in. Amen. Amen. When you start trying to explain what happened to the world of man's state, we find out that the Bible tells us what happened, that they began to change the glory. They wouldn't give God honor. They wouldn't give God credit. They wouldn't give God glory for making the world. So they made some changes. They began to change the glory of the uncorruptible God in verse 23 into the image and like corruptible man. In other words, what they did is they took God off the throne and they put man on the throne. They dethroned God and put humanism and humanity. In other words, the Bible said, don't have no other gods before me, and don't make unto you any graven image. And what they did is they took someone, the crown of God's creation, man became the number one ruler. And they took someone who was uncorruptible and took someone who was corruptible, and they put corruption on the throne. And the image that was made, he said, don't have any graven image. Amen. Exodus 20 and verse 4. They put man, corruptible man, now up here and put God underneath. They took God from being the creator and says that because I am rejecting nature, I am rejecting the message of nature. Nature says there's a God. Nature says that God did it. Nature says that I should thank God. Nature tells me that there's an intelligence behind this world. But man says, but what I want to do has run in conflict with what man wants. The nature of man begins to be in conflict with the nature of God. God's nature, God's creation, begins to be in conflict with man's own appetite, man's own nature. You got nature against nature, the corrupt nature against what God and who God is. And what simply happened in verse 23 is that man took God off the throne and got in his place. Man says, I'm my own God. Man says, I'm worshiping man. So you have man worshiping man. And what happened is you have man dethroning God, and you have man being in charge. You have man saying that I'm going to take God out of office. And through the instrumentality of idolatry, I am going to make God underneath man, and I'm going to idolize man. And now man becomes ruled from a dark space. Man now is ruled from a dark heart as man takes God off the throne and says that I am going to be God. I am going to be the ruler of the world. I'm going to dethrone God, and I'm going to enthrone man through the instrumentality of idolatry. I am going to hijack the throne of God and take him out, and I'm going to replace man over God, and that way I can do as I please, I can serve as I please, and I'm free now to do and serve as I please. And the Bible says their foolish heart was darkened, verse 23. And what happened is they decided in verse 25 that they were going to serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They're going to serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. I'm not going to serve God. I'm going to serve the creature. Amen. Man begins at this point to be the ruler of his own world. So we find out that the normal thing that normally happens is that whenever the flesh get in control, you begin to find the number one thing that always happened is human sexuality has a unique and strange connection to idolatry. Amen. Always. The moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we find out they said that I heard your voice and I recognized that I was naked and I hid myself. Amen. And there's a strange connection in Exodus 32. You begin to find out that there is the sexual revolution going on around a golden calf. Amen. Because idolatry, amen, and sexuality, human sexuality, are always connected. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, you begin to see the desire for same-sex relation. And it is always behind the scenes, because that is how Satan operates. He puts our fleshly nature in office and says, I'm going to kick God out of office. And as I kick God out, I am going to put man in. I'm going to put my flesh in control. Lest I hold you too long, I'm going to put my flesh in control, because I haven't gotten to the message. And my flesh is going to now rule. And whenever it rules, amen, the human sexuality is always at the top of the list. You see it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Adultery is at the top of the list. You have the sexual sins first, then you have the socials, the spiritual sins, then you have the social sins, the secular sins, rather. Amen. The social, the spiritual, the secular sins in Galatians 5. And right here you begin to see, even in this verse, we'll see in verse number 29 that also the same thing. But it says that women with women in verse number 26. And you find that man is burning in his heart with lust for man. And we see that they are working to do those things which are unnatural. Amen. Because that had to happen for man to be able to do what he wants. He had to take God out of office, and he had to get in office. And when man got in office, when he got in charge, then that's when the flesh got in charge, and it always focuses on human sexuality. And so what we find out is it says that God basically gave them up. He gave them up in verse number 24 to uncleanness. He gave them up in verse 26 to vile affections. And we see that he gave them up in verse 28 to a reprobate mind. Amen. A reprobate mind. God just said, he took his hands off of man. And then we see that he is saying that they won't listen. They won't listen. They rejected me. They kicked me out of office. And now I'm going to do what I want to do, because I don't accept what nature is telling me. I want to be ruled by my own nature. And unfortunately, that nature that man wants to be ruled by is a corrupt nature. It is a nature that is fallen. Why would a corrupt nature be in charge. Amen. That alone creates a problem. When man gets in charge of his own world and becomes a ruler in the place of God, and there is no right and wrong, amen. Wrong got in office and right got out of office because Satan, working through idolatry, made man his own God. So now man is God. And that, my brothers and sisters, creates a major problem. The Bible tells us that in verse number 29, you have a list from verses 29 to 31 of 22 different sins. Amen. From one thing to another. It starts off again with fornication. Amen. Whether it's heterosexuality or homosexuality, they both are wrong if they're not done the way God wants them done. Fornication and wickedness, and the list just goes on. Amen. Even dealing with murder in verse number 29, that's not of God. At the end of verse 30, you see them dealing with even children are included on the list. Children, kids, amen. Disobedient to parents, that also is a result of the fall. Gossip and all of you read the list and you begin to find out that even, amen, covenant breakers are in verse 31. Amen. We have Satan attacks the marriage, where anything that will make people run loose and break up and run from pillar to post, Satan is behind it. So you make a promise, but you break the promise. Amen. God is aware of what has happened in our world today, and people are just living it up. And when man is on the throne, but there is no future unless God is in control. Unless God is running our world, the world is not a safe place. Unless God is running our world, the world won't be a better place.